Not a lot to do. Baruch Hashem. New Sefer, new Parsha. Very, very exciting. Beginning of the Parsha tells us Klai Yisrael became very, very strong. There were a lot of them, and the tides began to turn. Mitzrayim tried to start figuring out plans how they're going to make Klai Yisrael's life more miserable, harder, stronger avdus. At the end of the first aliyah, the Chashri Anu also Kenya Ben V'Chen Yifrotz V'Yakutzu Ibnei Ben Yisrael. They were disgusted by Klai Yisrael. Mamish hated looking at a person from Klai Yisrael. It's a little bit striking how fast and how quickly the tides turned. A few weeks ago, okay, Parshat Vayigash, that says Mitzrayim, they heard that the Achei Yosef came down to Mitzrayim, they had a party. They were Samachka, Simcha Gedola. These great people came down. This is Mamash, and Paro's house was a big Simcha. And they helped out, and they had a lot of Hakasov to Yosef, obviously, for all that he did. Paro for sure had a Hakasov to Yosef. He acquired from the whole country, and everybody in the country, and all the animals in the country, and everything. He owned it all. How could it be that so quickly the tides turned? They could not stand looking at a person from Klai Yisrael. So, the Beis Levi, the beginning of the Parsha, the very first piece of the Beis Levi, it's a long one, a lot of paragraphs, but in his first four paragraphs, which we're not going to see, he quotes a whole bunch of different midrashim that seem to connect the concept that Klai Yisrael stopped doing Bris Milah in Mitzrayim, and due to the fact that Klai Yisrael stopped doing Bris Milah in Mitzrayim, therefore the Mitzrayim hated them. I'll quote to you just one mucker says, Kishemes Yoisa Tarek Efiru Bris Milah Amru Niyek Mitzrayim Mikana Talamit Shemoshe Malon B'tzeitz Mitzrayim Moshe Demil when they get out of Mitzrayim Mekimet Shasu Kein Hafach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ahava Shayu Mitzrayim Ohavino Sam L'sina Shenemar Hafach Libam Lisno Amo Lisna Kel Bavadav. Right, because it has been Bris Milah, therefore Hashem made the Mitzvah will hate Klai Yisrael. Okay, I just don't really understand what to do with each other. And furthermore, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Chidashtem Aleichem Avoda, Af Ani Ma'amim Mishu Mechadesh Adechem Gzeros. You guys started doing a new Avoda, I'm going to bring a new mouth to come against you. What do these things have to do with each other? So the Beis Halevi, quoting many Midrashim, we can't go into it all right now, but his idea is that what Klai Yisrael decided to do is that they did Bris Milah. They absolutely kept Bris Milah in Mitzrayim, for sure. What, you think he says that the door after they left, at the door Achar HaShvatim, already they weren't doing Bris Milah? That's not shy, I can't even think about that. What were they doing though? Klai Yisrael felt very uneasy when they were in Mitzrayim. We're in the Galus. You know what, we have to act, we have to look like everybody else. It's not right to stick out. We should be like Beth Minhag Medina. So you know what? We'll do Bris Milah, but then right after they did Bris Milah, they did a particular type of covering up the Makom HaMila so that they wouldn't be known that they had Mila done to them. So on the one hand, they were doing Mitzvah Deraisa of Mila, because it's the first Mitzvah, Avraham Avinu, of course, Bris Milah. But at the same time, they didn't want it to be something that would be mavdil between them and the Mitzrayim. So they, as he quotes, he says, they were Moshech or Lassam, which is to try to cover up the makam of where they removed the Orla, try to cover that so it wouldn't be seen, it wouldn't be known as being different than the Mitzrayim. Now, the Beis Levi himself has a whole kush with this because that's a very chamur duke iser. The Gemara says in some places that's Eino Chelek Lahaba, but he says a different chiluk, which is that it depends why you're doing it. If you're doing it because you hate the mitzvah, then it's a deraisa. But here, Klai Yisrael wasn't doing it because they didn't like Bris Milah. They wanted to do Bris Milah, and they did Bris Milah. But they were scared, or nervous, or uneasy about being different than the Mitzrayim. So you know what they decided to do? They say, you know what? Let's try to cover up. He says, it's only a derabana. And there were no derabana in the time of
Mitzrayim.
So really, Mitzrayim ha'isur shebo, they did nothing wrong. No Yisurim. Okay. So now, that's all the backdrop. Now, so they did no Yisurim, so then, how come Mitzrayim is hating them? Why is Hashem bringing the Mishnah against them? So Beis Levi says the following. Now we're up to the piece. The Beis Levi says the following. Omnam, Hagam de be'etza ha'maisa lo haya isr klau. They didn't do anything wrong. Im kolzek var hayu alulim bazel yisarei v'meshech hazman betoch ha'mitzrim. V'gam yishtakeh betumasam. But because, even though they didn't do anything wrong, but what was gonna, the ultimate conclusion of this was gonna be that we were gonna be totally integrated and assimilated into the Mitzrim, into Mitzrayim and into the Mitzrim. Achareisha ain't have them, nikar b'nim, because there's nothing separating them. V'zeu mamish lehefech be'ikur kavanas ha-mitzvah. The whole point of Bris Milah is Kadesh Yisrael, you moved dali min ha-mitzrim. That's what Bris Milah is all about. So you took the Shoresh, you took the whole concept of what Bris Milah stands for, and you've turned it over, and you made it exactly the opposite of what Bris Milah is supposed to stand for. How could you do that? The Kadosh Baruch Hu 3 months later, Nathan Torah Mitzvah say Yisrael, Kadesh you move Dalim in Bnei Noach. Which must be separate. Vim Yisrael, you mekarvim atzmam mechalila lehem, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu haya mechadesh hahevdel haidei zeh, she mechadesh sinah belibam. The kol zeh haya letovasim shal Yisrael, Kadesh lo yisarvu b'neihem. You know why all of a sudden now Yisrael is hating them? Because we said together, what's the connection between not doing Bris Milah and Yisrael hating Klal Yisrael? Mark Asher, Hashem says, I see what's happening here. I see where this is going. This spells disaster. Total assimilation. Because you guys are, Mitzrayim Klal Yisrael, are stopping with all the separations and the physical barriers between you and the Mitzrayim. Great. And there's this wonderful issue between the Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael. So you know what? That's a very, very bad mix between them loving us loving them and not wanting to live in them, and therefore we're going to be one great nation. That's a disaster! So you know what? Hashem was mechadesh sinna in the Mitzrayim's eyes that we became disgusting to the Mitzrayim. Why? So that we'll retain to be Klal Yisrael. We won't be Klal Yisrael anymore. We'll be finished. Mishum hachi, after they asu Yisrael, ma'isav atachbulam hasir ha'avdel, after they tried to hide it, the Rasul is karev lahem, therefore, hazai hivdil makarash baruch hu, ayidei zeh shechidish v'hosi sinah b'lev ha-mitzrim. Ve'akutsu ibnei b'nei Yisrael. The kol kach haya Yisraelim me'usim b'eineihem, ad shekshaya mitzri ro'eh osan haya katz ba'atzmo. K'derach mishra'a devar ma'us shekatzbo. He was ill, they felt sick. The Mitzrayim, when they saw a Jew, physically ill. That's how deep HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make the sinah in them and implant in them just to make sure that they wouldn't want to be near us. So, we mentioned this line a couple weeks ago, Chaim Volozhin, right? This famous line of Chaim Volozhin says that either Klal Yisrael makes Kiddush or the Goyim make Havdalah. Means, either we are Mekadosh ourselves, in which case Hashem doesn't have to be Mavdil the Goyim from us because we know who we are. We have our identity. We have our Klal Yisrael, our mitzvos. What makes us separate, what makes us special. So if we're Mekadosh ourselves, then everything's fine. But if we don't, then the Goyim will make Havdalah. The Goyim then will have to make the separation. How? They're not going to do it themselves. Hashem will create it in the world. He'll be mashrish into the Goyim to make sure that they push away Klal Yisrael and hate us. Why? For our own good. He basically quotes a Medrash that amongst the in the Perkin Tillman, it says, Hodu Hashem, Kiru Rishmon. This is all the great things Hashem did. It listed that Hashem made the Mitzvah hate us. That was one of the tovos that Hashem did for us. How can that be a taiva? It is a taiva. If you understand that we could have been totally assimilated without that, that was a great tova in retrospect. And that's what he says. Look at the underlines. V'zeo shomer medrash kevan sheyfiru b'smila hafach ha'ava shayu ohavim osam l'sina shenemar hafach libam l'isno amo. The mikoro shayu heim avdil matzam, we were separating ourselves min ha-mitzrim hayu ha-mitzrim ohavim osam v'im zeo shum chshash nezek kevan da'yitzo haya marchik asun. Since we were separated, it's okay for the Mitzrim to love us because we know we're always different. V'achar kach hidil ha-karash baruch v'asam mitzrim mehem ha-idea sina. V'shaper chashu akasim zeh v'toch hatovos zeh ya ikur hatzlach hasan shal Yisrael sheyisharu am kadosh muvdal b'fnei atzman u'mizeh tzamcha kol ha'geula acharkach. Meaning, in retrospect, it was a tremendous tova, Hashem difras, that he made the mitzvah hate us. The fact that they hate us and push us away and made out that they were, that did not like us, and then for Klai Yisrael called to a Kadosh Baruch Hu ultimately, and that's how the whole Geula started. Without that, had the Mitzvah taken us in and loved us and embraced us, and we would have allowed that, Hashem would have allowed them to actually like Klai Yisrael, we would have been finished in Mitzrayim. And that's what he points out in the next paragraph. He says, and it's interesting to know, he says, look at the Gullus. He said, you know, you would think, I mean, he lived 100 years ago, but I think it's, at least it's true now, if not even worse. He says, it's strange to think that after all these years, the Goyim still hate Klal Yisrael. It's a long time. And there's still tremendous anti-Semitism, and there's people are being beat up, and people are being attacked because they're Jews. You would think after 2,000 years of being in the Gullus, okay, they would stop hating us, the Goyim. He says, you don't understand though. It's a chesed. And it's hard to say it's a chesed when people get beat up. But the problem is not Hashem bringing an onish. It's Hashem watching out for us. He says, listen, you have to retain your identity. You have to know who you are. You have to know you're a Yid. When you start losing that, Hashem has to turn the tables and create it that the Goyim, okay, push us away. To remind us, you know what? You're Jews. You're different. You're your own people. And even though they do it in a nasty way, it's not the way we want it. That's why I'm saying it's a chesed. Obviously, it's not a good thing. Okay? It better if we woke up to it on our own and wanted to be different and understood that we have to remain within our own tchum and make sure we know our own boundaries and not totally become part of the rest of the world and part of society. To a degree, yes. To be part of Takin Olam, very important. But not to become totally assimilated and integrated into the Goyish culture. That's not going to help us. And therefore, the three underlines there in the middle paragraph, the kol ma'ashe Yisrael ma'atim b'havdilam shenaslam ha-Torah ha-Kedosha ha-Yedekim ha-Torah ha-Mitzvah ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu mosif sina b'libam v'fi erech tachis ha-mevukash k'dei shisharu Yisrael mevdalim. The more we stop doing the Torah, the more we keep covering up who we are and our identity and trying to behave like we're not Jews, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make this a sinner amongst the Goyim is greater against us to remind us that we are Jews. It's such an unbelievable scale, the proportions of what has to happen. But when you stop and think about it, okay, this is actually logical. It actually makes sense. Who else is going to remind us? Who else should watch out for us and make sure that we don't become totally integrated into society and forget our Yiddishkeit? If not from the Yiddish Shabbat Shemayim, the Tate, who's going to watch for us? Nobody. He's watching out for our own good. Halavai, we should watch out for our own good and not have to rely on Kosh Bachar to step in and intervene and actually change the way that we're perceived in the world. He took Ahava from the Mitzvah and turned into Sina. That was not... It was not easy. It's not something he had to do. For God, he can do whatever he wants. Okay, but he had to actually change the nature. There were the good relationships there. Okay. Maybe it's possible. Yeah, okay, at least I don't know. I don't think this applies so much in Europe. But at least in America, most places. Okay, maybe we see that. That's the flip side of this. The fact that we are allowed to act as Jews, and we are allowed to perform, and people do stand out, and in most places you don't have to cover up who you are, okay? So, the Dafka in America, again, if Aduma said, Dafka in America, Jews are looked at as favorable to some people, okay? And are light, and are recognized for their talents, of what they have. It's unique, but it's okay, because even though we're being brought in, okay, it's because, hopefully, we know who we are. As soon as we forget who we are, though, it will turn around. As soon as we get too close, and we've started to say, well, listen, we should really be, you know, going to, you know, New Year's parties with all the guys, and having a blast then, because it's New Year's. So New Year's is not January 1st. New Year's is on Rosh Hashanah. So if you want to invite them to a show on Rosh Hashanah and have a party with them, it's very nice. I don't know if they want to come. But you have to, as long as we'll remain ourselves, it's fine. And we'll be liked. And people will appreciate what we have to offer. Okay, that's a very, very important message that we have to definitely keep in mind. You know, I remember, I don't know how common this is in New York, but at least out of New York, I remember growing up in Chicago, so my mother always had this thing whenever we would go anywhere public, you know, put on a baseball hat. What put on a baseball hat for? She says, we don't want to have anyone, you know, looking at you. So, that's, maybe it's nice, maybe it's proper, I don't know. I don't think it's the right outlook, okay? But we're not trying to cover up our Judaism. We have to be proud. We have to know who we are. We have to have our identity. We have to have our things that keep us separate. I'll just tell her a great story. Once we had it already from Rav Hartman. Rav Hartman told over about himself. So I think I can say over the same story. He told over that when he was growing up, he had the same thing. And he was going, he was already grown, whatever. And his mother said, you know, he's going to the Yankee game. So his mother said, put on a baseball hat, put on a Yankee hat. Why? You want them to see that you're Jewish. He says, what, you don't think they're going to think I'm Jewish? Look at me. I had a beard. You know, you said I'm a grown man, you don't think they know I'm Jewish? No, wear a hat, you'll see that I'm not Jewish. So he says, he goes to the big game, puts on a hat, makes his mother happy, walks through the turnstile, and the first person he says, can you join us for a minion? We're trying to get a minion together. He said, how did I know I'm Jewish? I was wearing a baseball hat. They were not supposed to know I'm Jewish. So, sometimes we can cover it up, it doesn't help. But the question is, we should cover it up the chlal is a debate. It's not sure that's a correct derech we should go about. Okay, let's go weiter. The end of the first aliyah also tells us that Shifra and Puah, they didn't listen to Paro, and they went ahead and they saved all the kids. Question is, why does the Torah say Shifra and Puah? Rashi says it's Yocheved and Miriam. So I got a good idea. Why doesn't the Torah say Yocheved and Miriam instead of Shifra and Puah and try to figure out what does Shifra and Puah mean? Why does Yocheved and Miriam? I got a much better idea. Just tell us who it is. It's not a game. It's a chok. This is a Maral question, not my question. Maral very often asks this question. Why don't you just say it straight? So, Maral says, very, very important, Yisod. Look at the Gurariye in the side. Lama lo yizkir Hashem Yocheved Hashem Miriam. The year Hashem Akosum Askir Hashem Yocheved Miriam Ve'aron Aracha Leidus Moshe. The names of the family members of Moshe are not mentioned until after Moshe is born. Sheyaparsha Shacharis Ksir Yelch Ishim Beit Levi Ve'kachis Bas Levi. Also, lo ratzel askir Shema Av Hashem Aim Shem Moshe Leidus Moshe. There's a secret in the Torah. They don't want to mention by name the names of Moshe's relatives. Not the father, not the mother, not his sister, not his brother. So after he's born. After he's born, we can mention them. What's the game? Says the Gurayeh. Lomar lecha ki Moshe haya metukan legula misheishis meibreishis. Umeyachar she Moshe metukan legula misheishis meibreishis lo hayu avosav ikar etzlo. Moshe Rabbeinu was destined. He was chosen. Way back when, in creation, he was set aside to be the Goel Yisrael from Yisrael. Therefore, it's irrelevant. And the Torah goes out of its way not to mention, actually, who his family relations are. Who he came from. What his yichus is. Why? Lo hayu avos of ikur etzlo. The ikur by him is not who his father was. Ilu nasan shem la aviv kodem leidas Moshe hayav mashmut ha'inyan sheikar haya ha'av. Vishvil atzmo ushmu ha'miyuchad lo nasan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Had it mentioned Amram and Yocheved by name, so you would have said, oh, listen, I'm Galador, Yocheved, Tzadikis. Of course, they had Moshe. This is Maral, no. That's all wrong. You have the wrong idea. Generally speaking, as he says, Lekach lo yizkir, sorry, kamo ko'av shehu befat siv alevan. Generally speaking, the only reason a kid comes to the world is because he's a son of a particular person. Hashem had it destined that he should come to the world, and only because this person met this person, and they had this child, that's why this child came to the world. Otherwise, he wouldn't come to the world. That's normal. That's every other human being ever. Except for Moshe Rabbeinu. L'kach lo yizkir shmo ki eitz ha'leidus Moshe lo haya ha'av siba miyuchedes. It wasn't a special reason why Amram was chosen. And for that reason, he came into the world. Without Amram, Yod Moshe Rabbeinu would not have come to the world. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no Siba Mucheres of the Av. There was no specific reason. It was because Moshe Rabbeinu was destined. The kol shar banim in lo hayazav lo ba ben olam. Not for this father, the kid would not have come. The zeinu ba Moshe ki asha yamam muchan yotel Moshe al kol panim muchrak Moshe lavo lo olam lo fikach enu mas kir shema pati kodem leidas Moshe shelo tomar ki nolad me amram befrat in lo hayam amram lo hayam nolad Moshe she zeinu rakhu kmo shar adam in lo hayam amram haya acher. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to definitely come at this time in a time period in the world. And it's true to some degree, as he mentioned also. Obviously, the fact that Amram ultimately was chosen, okay, shows it was something more about Amram than anybody else, which we'll talk about maybe next week's parasha here. Okay, there's still some svara for that. But it's not that you should think that if Amram would not have had Moshe and he would not have met Yocheved, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have come to this world. That is not true. That is true of everybody else in the world and everyone else in this room. But not by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu would have come, if not from Amram, would have come to somebody else. Because it wasn't Talui in any special reason, specifically, that if he didn't come from these parents, he wouldn't come to the world. That's true in general. Something interesting to think about, that if not for the fact of who our parents are, okay, we would not be here today. There was a special destiny, that the fact that they met each other and they had us as their children, we're here. We weren't destined to come from somebody else. We would never come to the world then. But Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a different story. Moshe Rabbeinu was, as he quotes Midrash on the bottom in the footnotes, that Moshe Rabbeinu was already from Sheish Mei Bereishis, was Nivra, as the Goel for Klal Yisrael. And from that time on, he was just waiting to come down to the world at the right time, when Hashem wanted him to. But the right time was Tkufas Mitzrayim, was to be Goel from Mitzrayim. Who the parents are, it's basically irrelevant. He was going to come during that time period for sure. Elama, once you come into this time period, so the question is, why Amram? So we'll discuss that, but it's very much a secondary element. And that's why, says the Maharal, not only is Aaron not mentioned, not only is Yocheved not mentioned, not only is Miriam not mentioned, Aaron, nobody, nothing. Because you shouldn't have any svaras and say, oh, come on, of course, look at the chain, look at the yichas, look at the mishpach he comes from, the goods, the genes. No, there's nothing to do with that. Moshe Rabbeinu stands on his own. He's independently the greatest person ever lived in this world. On his own merit, because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu decided. Okay, that answers Gam Shifrim Pua, Gam Vayelech Ish Mibet Deyudah, Kachas Basel Yemi. Outside of it just being a nice rhyme and easy to remember, it's like the strangest pasuk in the world. But they don't have names. Ish Mibet Deyudah, Basel Yemi. They were pretty chashu people. You don't think they had a name? That's the answer. The answer is, don't think that their name was Gorem Latest Moshe. That's not true. Okay, let's move forward quickly. The Shemin Atov quotes, Vayifin Kovacho, Moshe Ben went out, and he looked both ways, and he saw that no one was there, and he killed the Mitzri on the first day. Second day he goes out, sees two Jews hitting each other. The Jew says, what? You gotta kill me like you killed the other Mitzri? No. It's a problem. Either Moshe Rabbeinu had very bad eyesight, or somebody was hired. It said in the Pasuk, Vayipen ko v'chol vayar ki ein ish. There was nobody there. He killed the Mitzri and buried him in the sand. The next day, he goes. And he says, he sees the two Jews fighting, and the Jew says, what, you're going to kill me like you killed the Mitzri? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu make sure there was no one there when he killed him? What, he missed the guy hiding behind the bushes? He had a telescope, right? He was like binoculars. Where was he? Where was this guy, Dasan? No, it's a good kashim shad, no? You ever thought of this question? How did he know? Shmua, he got around. Okay, so Rashi says, good. Rashi says, a little bit, Ra Masha Asal Abayis, Ra Masha Asal Basadeh. What does it mean? Let's go to the fifth line. After the new paragraph, the Ine, the Marel, this can be her, Dimash Rabbi Yom Rishon, Hayah Mitzri Makaz Dasan. Ubal Ishto. Dasan came. He was walking down the street with his wife. She was a very nice looking lady. And the Mitzri saw the Jewish couple walking down the street. He said, excuse me, mister, I'd like to meet your wife. What do you mean? Boop. Okay, he got her on the head, knocked him out. Okay, and the mystery took his wife, as the Medrash says. Ubal ishto dehainu shlomis vas dovriv divri shaisa eishes dastik uvra medrash. As the Medrash tells us, and the mystery was born with his wife. Imkain haloit seals dasan miar mitzri. Then Moshe Rabbeinu saw this whole thing going on, and he came and he really gave it to that mystery, clobbered him, killed him, put him in the sand. Now, the only person who knew about that. His Dasan was his wife. He was the only one there. When we call Makom, Oso Dasan, Machriz Vefumbi, Hal Hargeni Atal Merka Sherakas Amitri, Uminayin Yada, Halo Nemar Vayarki Inish, El Dehu Hayaha Muka, he was the one who was hit. You're right. He looked at him with nobody else around. But of course, the person who was beat up was there. It just said he got beat up on the first day. Beautiful. There was nobody there. He looked all the sides and nobody there. Why? He just beat up the Mitzri who took this guy's wife. But the guy is there. Dasan is there. He sees what happened. He may be a little bit sore, a little bruised, and a little unconscious, but he definitely saw what took place. And then the next day, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, what, you're going to kill me and kill the Mitzri? And Moshe says, Achein Oda Advar, where does Rashi say? Oh my gosh. He must have told everybody. And Moshe Rabbeinu says even more, wow. And these are the people who want me to be Goa from Mitzrayim? These people with such rotten midos. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know they were such bad midos? He knew very well how they had bad midos. Look at this guy. He had no appreciation. The day before I just saved him from this Goa that pulled out with his wife and knocked him onto the floor, almost killing him. Next day, he's throwing it back in my face. What a low life. Terrible. How could he do that? It could only be because their midos are so krum and so messed up. That's why it happened. You know what? So Hashem, I don't get it. Why would you want me to come and save these people? What do you have with these people? This is strange. They're bad people. I'm running away. I'll save my own life. Forget these guys. I want to meet you now, so this will save my own life. But why should I come and go to Paro and put myself on the line and serious nefesh? For what? For these guys? They're terrible. It gives us a great insight into the Rashi, and it gives us a great insight into at least what Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking. Why Moshe Rabbeinu is so upset? Could you imagine? The chutzpah, the audacity of a person? Basic. We're talking about now, you know, sometimes we talk lofty. Hakaras HaTov, you should have this great midah. This is as basic as it comes. Such a short-term memory, one day. Okay. So that also clears up for us. Number one, the question of Aifin Kavaho, he didn't see anybody. Yeah, of course he didn't see anybody else. But Dasan, he wasn't hiding. He was on the floor. He was just hit over the head by a ton of bricks at the Mitzri. Of course, he was there. What do you expect? Then Moshe jumped onto the scene and took care of things. Okay, but doesn't know what happened. And that explains the Rashi of why Moshe Rabbeinu was so upset and so disheartened about coming to try to save Klal Yisrael. It wasn't for him. Not interested. Okay, let's go weiter. The Pnimi Rav of Shechter Sefer of the Diator of the Rav is two beautiful pieces. We'll see one, hopefully get to the second one also, but for sure the first one we have to see. The Torah tells us, Israel, before we get there, I'll tell you also about what I said this morning. Second over with good Morty Morty. And we talked also about even Kova Chovayaki Enish. We spoke a couple weeks ago about Yigashelav Yehuda. We spoke about how Yehuda, You have to, when you want to do something, you have to make sure that makes sense. Make sure it's right. Make sure it's with all the right Heshbonos. But you got to cut off Azla? Hold on, Ravi. Settle down. Make sure you're not acting impulsively. Make sure you're not acting hastily. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to kill the Mitzvah. Okay? He's furious. He sees what happened. He's ready to pounce on the guy. Okay, now I'll do it. Mazda. So it could just be technically, as I just did, okay? Which is look both ways before you cross the street, make sure you don't get hit, okay? And then you can cross. That's one basic shot. Okay? Rashi says though he looked deep. He looked into the generations of this guy. He said, he's not worth anything, I can kill him. Along those same lines, even Kol V'Chol means you have to look in all directions, all the way around you. Okay? All the ramifications. All the things this action is going to touch upon. Now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. You have to think it all out before you do something. This could have been a major turning point in history for Klal Yisrael. For better or for worse. Killing a Mitzri, that's bad news. Bad news for the Jews. Okay? Moshe looked both ways and said, hold on, let me think about this before I go ahead and do this. This could be dangerous. Let me think it out for a second. I want to do it. I'm ready to do it. I got the hand up. I'm ready to stab him. Hold on. Even Kol V'Chol, look around. Make sure, not only no one's seeing, but make sure there's nothing that's going to come out that's badness. Right? If in the short run you do something great, but in the long run you sink Klal Yisrael, that won't be good. Make sure when you're about to act, make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Make sure it's going to be successful in what you go ahead and do. If it's good, then go ahead and do it. That was what we said 2 weeks ago also. Okay. Says the pasuk in Perek Gimel that the snare Moshe Rabbeinu was going for a little walk and he saw this burning bush and Hashem came and revealed Himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayar malach Hashem elav belabat eish mitoch hasne. Vayar v'ine hasne b'er b'eish v'hasne enu ukal. Moshe Rabbeinu, this malach was inside the sneh, belabat eish mitoch hasne. What does that mean, belabat eish mitoch hasne? Says of Salvechik, beautifully. Third line, v'nir lefar eish, sheha eish hayta be'emtza u'belibo shel hasne, was in the inside of the sneh. In the heart, belabat eish, miloshon lev hasneh, mitoch hasneh, the fire was, in the sneh, deep inside the sneh, was that fire. What does it mean? Aval mibachutz, haya sneh zeh domeh lekol sneh achir b'midbar. The bush was a regular bush, looked like a bush, just inside, there was a fire, inside the sneh, just sitting there, that's it. Well, that's weird. Well, that yatsmi Moshe. My time ain't a ish mispar should be pnimus hasneh achutza. Moshe said, I don't get it. Why is this not spreading? There's fire inside a very flammable entity, a bush with leaves and twigs and branches. Why is this thing not burning? I don't get it. Can't figure it out. It's got this ish inside, but it's not influencing, it's not being mashpia outside to the chutz. Doesn't make sense. Valzei Yeshua Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem answers back to him, Ra'o Ra'isi, I see. Mendes says, Hashem says, I can see much further than you can see. I can see the future. You can only see now. Moshe, Taro E'Ri'ah Achas, you see one Ri'ah. Va'ani Resh Deiris, I see two Ri'ahs. I see now and I see into the future. What does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Achenu da davar." We just said it. Rashi says that the Medrash says that Moshe was upset that Klal Yisrael is under such tremendous avodas with avodas perech. How come Klal Yisrael, what they do, it was so terrible? Why did they deserve this? And then Moshe says, "Now I see why. Then they're so lowly. Look at what this Dasan guy. Everyone's like him. Of course, they understand why everyone will be b'shabed them. They're bad people." V'chein achshav shebeshashvat asneh. Moshe says, what, I should go to Mitzrayim? Rashi quotes, Eizah schut yesh Yisrael shetaseh lehem nes. Why should I go? Well, all that stems from the fact, Ki kifisha yistakel Moshe Rabbeinu al hachitzonius asher hayehudim lo ra'a bahem sheyuruim l'geula. Moshe Rabbeinu sees their inside, sorry, the outside. He only sees one re'iyah, a chitzoni re'iyah of Klal Yisrael, and he says, "Listen, look at them now. This is what you want. This is their am hanitzar, the am I'm supposed to put my life on the line for. I'm not interested. No, thank you. I'll take a pass." Hashem says, "You're only seeing the outside. Not always does the inside influence the outside. It doesn't mean, though, that there's not an inside. Sometimes it just doesn't get there. It doesn't make it." Zeh amar her'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu et asneh. This several inzay, what he was trying to show him is shebepnimiyu shekol yudi yokeres eishel ahava mesuteret. There's a burning fire in every Jew that loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu and yearns HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though there's a cold outer shell that looks like it's so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but inside there's a burning fire that wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is desiring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Hashem shows him the snare. Look, Moshe Benu, sometimes this can't happen. It can happen. There are things like that where there's an inside, there's ish. And the outside, it's just an ordinary sneh. It's not spreading. It should spread. Logic should say it should spread. Yeah, but sometimes it doesn't. For whatever reason, the person has barriers. They don't let it spread. They don't want it to spread. Sometimes even against the will, it does spread. We'll see in a second. But that is the neshama of each Jew wanting a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the esh inside. That's the sneh, the esh mitoch asneh, in the sneh. The labat esh, in the lame of the sneh, is that esh. Hashem says, this can happen, Moshe Rabbeinu, but don't give up. It's not a reason to throw in the towel. And that's why he says, we say, in the Haggadah, we were avadim hayinu lefaro, but we say, we say in Hallel, Hallelu avdei Hashem. We're avdei Hashem, we're avadim hayinu lefaro, but we were avadim to paro. The distinction is between, it says, avdei Hashem, it says, we are Avdei Hashem. Our essence is the Seva Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whether or not you can see that or not, we always are Avdei Hashem. Even in Mitzrayim, all we were was Avadim Hayinu LeParo. We were Avadim to Paro because that was our situation that we were in then. It was Chitzonius. On the outside, socially, we were ranked as Avadim to Paro. But even then, we were Avdei Hashem. Maybe not in how we acted, but we still were owned, we still were dedicated, we still had in it our essence was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the distinction in the Lashon between Avdei, Halu Avdei Hashem versus Avadim Hayinu Lefaro. And that's what he says here, that this is an important Yesod for us to keep in mind. When we look at Jews, sometimes we see people very far from Yiddishkeit, but Hashem says in Hilchos Teshuva, but Bram quotes that in the end, everyone's going to come back and do Teshuva. All Klal Yisrael. Fourth line, Av chilek mehatzionim, hachiloniim, hasonim lekol kodshei Yisrael. Sometimes there are people out there, and they seem like they're bigger anti-Semites than the Goyim. Umecharfim, umegatfim, or something, they blaspheme anything else with Kedusha and Klal Yisrael. But bepinim yuslibam, midgaagim heimel hakeis karav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Inside though, they want and desire to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ka'ayal tarog alafikei mayim. Just like the ram looks for the water, he instinctively wants the water. It puts tortures for it. Inside, it's pulling him a magnetic attraction towards it. Asher lefichach mitkaasim heim kol kach al kol inyani adas ki makrim heim bechasronam ze ve'enam rotzim lehodos al kach afiu la'atzmam. You know why they're so upset and hate Yiddishkeit so much? Because they have guilt. Why am I not like that? You know what? Instead of push the guilt away, I'll defend myself. So, you know what? It's so ridiculous. They do these ceremonies, and they have this thing, they have the Shabbos, they have these bread, and wine, this, and that, and bris milah. We could just do away with all that. It's all narishkeit. That's the way that they suppress those desires, those dusha moments, the ruchnius moments that they may have, that's the way to push them away. I won't have them this way, they won't bother me. But it's because inside, there's that little something moving them, pushing them, maybe you should, maybe you should, maybe you should. Ah, no, go away, go away, go away. Every Jew has it in him that there's this propelling device inside called the neshama, a Yehudi, that wants to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful. You know, sometimes you hear stories of a Bali Tshuva. They tell you, I don't know what it was. I was in some place. I was so far, but I just felt I was missing something. I don't know what it was. I can't put my finger on it, but I just felt that I wasn't there. It wasn't for me. Well, what was it? So you're like, what? You're nuts? You felt something. You felt weird. You felt like you were being pushed, moved towards something. Yeah, he was. Really? He didn't make it up. He didn't know what it was, but we know what it is. What it is neshama inside wanting spirituality. Every Jew, every single Jew, that's why there are so many stories like this, has that pull towards going to do Kedusha, towards wanting a connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sometimes it's under 10 layers, sometimes under 50 layers, sometimes under 1,000 layers. But it's there. And there are those moments where a person's life, or sometimes it surfaces for a second, or it comes close to the surface. Now, what happens at that point is either the person squashes it, or he actually starts to follow after it. It's an instinct. It's something that the person doesn't realize. It's subconscious. Just like the ayal looks for the water, he doesn't know where it is, but he's magnetically attracted. He's going in the path to the water because that's what it does. So too, the Jew looks for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know what he's looking for even. But he finds, because his neshama is calling out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want, I'm looking for you, I'm searching. And then they find Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the neshama Yehudi. And that's the sneh. That's the eish betoch hasneh. Moshe Rabbeinu, I know that it looks strange to you. I know that you have a hard time understanding it. Sometimes people look really bad. Yet they could be really good inside. It's a hard thing to swallow and to believe. But let me tell you, Moshe Rabbeinu, something. The same way inside the sneh, it can happen by people also. Our hope is that it will spread, and the bush will burn, and then the inside of the person will also spread out and take over the person also. That'll be great. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. But doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean maybe now it won't happen. Maybe next generation will happen. Maybe two generations will happen. But that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. But the belief of that nekuda, the yisod, even Moshe Rabbeinu has to accept. Okay, great. Okay, let's go right there. Hopefully two last points. Two beautiful pieces. The Kli Yakar. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the snack. Hashem said, Shalom alecha me'al raglecha ki ha-makom asher ata omeid sham ad mezkodeshu. Right? More or less? Berech. Okay, anyway. So, there's another place in Tanakh. It says the Kli Yakar. That sounds very, very similar to this Sivui. It happened by Yehoshua. And by Yeshua, he was also told to take off his shoe. But there's a few distinctions in the psukim. Number one, by Moshe Rabbeinu says shal na'alecha, and by Yeshua says shal na'alcha. Take off your shoe. Versus two shoes. One shoe and two shoes. Why the distinction between Moshe two shoes and Yeshua one shoe? Number two, by Yeshua doesn't say admas kodeshu. That you're adama. It's Kodesh, it doesn't say it there. And Moshe Rabbeinu does say that there. Why the distinction? So the Kli Yakar says that if you look in the Mefarshim, Rabbeinu Mechai and others, they have already stated that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, that it's more, is because Moshe Rabbeinu was purified, was more removed from this world, of the Olam HaChomri, the Gashmi world, than was Yehoshua. Now, how does that play itself out? How does that help us? So look how the Kli Yakar now weaves it all together. This is a gorgeous piece. Look at the seventh line. I Chayyim Rabbeinu Chayyim Shalom Alech HaChakata Gashmias Ki Moshe Yam Shulam Min HaChom Yudas Yom Yin Yoshua. Va'osif Novach Mishnah, I want to add a little bit to this. The Gemara says in Babasa, Pnei Moshe Kachama V'Yoshua Kalevana. Moshe was like the sun, Yeshua was like the moon. Ki Kemoshe Halevana, the same with the moon. Me'ira Mikol Mitzad Echad. The Chashuch Mitzad Sheni, the moon is only part lit up and part not. Half and half, or percentage of it is lit up and that percentage is not. Tach Yoshua. He'ir Mitzad Asechel. Yoshua was lit up mitzad his intelligence, mitzad his alam haruchani. He was kol kulo purified. Vayachashuv, but he was dark, meaning he hadn't purified yet, mitzad hachomriyut shenisharbo. But his sad hachomriyut, his materialistic side, was still not pure. Aval pnei Moshe kechama, hame'ira mikol tzad. Moshe was the sun, full blown. All his assets were pure. Kach Moshe nizakech gam b'chilek hachomri shebo. Kol kach, ad shezachal kevon or pnei hachomer. Moshe Rabbeinu, even his physical side, his skin, the most physical thing you can have is the flesh, even that was spewing forth sun, brightness, shine. How is that? Because you know what? Your body wants to eat. The Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat. 40 days he didn't eat. Didn't get there yet. But how? But that was his madrigal he was open to reach. That's the case. So what did he eat? What did he live on? Spiritual food. Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ziv Shechina. He lived on that for 40 days. So even his physical side was kol kulo kadosh for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even his physical side was showing forth Kedusha and Shechina. Not just his intellectual side and his ruchni side. Therefore, take off your shoes, both shoes, because Moshe Rabbeinu removed his physicality from both his spiritual side and his physical side. Zikuch ha-sichli from the taros ha-chomri shebo, the zikuch ha-chomri. He was totally pure in his mind and in his guf. Both, everything was pure, 100%. Meaning, take off both shoes, each shoe representing one of the two aspects of the individual. And that's why he said to him, you're an Admas Kodesh. Why Admas Kodesh? Why is it so important? Because even the Adama, even your physical, let's say the dirt, is the clay, the ground, is the most physical part of the person. Even your physical side, Admas Kodesh, is Admas Kodesh. It's pure. Even your body is pure. Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's one more decision we didn't mention, which is that by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, don't come any closer! You come any closer, you may die. That's not mentioned by Yeshua. How come? I'll tell you why. By Moshe Rabbeinu, he was so pure, and so close to Shechina, and so close to being perfect, had he gone to look, he taka could have seen. Kadosh Baruch Hu's essence. Hashem says, but I won't let you do that. You'll die. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to tell me that I shouldn't look at his Shechina, or else I'm going to die. I got no chance. Right? Me as a layman. Hashem says, let me tell you something. I don't want you to come look at me. Because if you look at me, you'll see me and you'll die. My question to me. But Moshe Rabbeinu, what to say? Moshe Rabbeinu, it could have happened. But not by regular people. Not even by Yoshua. And that's why, by Yoshua, put the three things together. By Yoshua, it says, don't take off one shoe. Why? Because only Yoshua had only chelik of his purification process. His chelik ha-sichli, his chelik ha-ruchani was kokulo kadosh. But his physical side, he was still a physical person. You know, it doesn't mean he was running out to dinner every night. Okay? It doesn't mean he was, you know, gnashing during starting. But it means he was still physical. He had to purify the physical side 100%. One shoe only. Number two, Hashem says, the Adamas Kodesh is left out. Why? Because your Adama is not Kodesh. You, Adama, the Chomer, the Guf, not Kodesh yet. So it wasn't mentioned by him. And he doesn't mention him, don't look at me. Because the Meila, there's a Mechitza between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Mechitza? The fact that you're still in flesh and blood. The fact that you're still a Chomri. Therefore you won't be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem doesn't have to say, well, make sure you don't come look at me, because if you look at me, you'll be able to see my essence, and then you'll have to die. It's not shaykh, it's mufka. It doesn't make sense. Same way it doesn't make sense for me, it didn't make sense for Yoshua kibyachol either. But by Moshe, it made a lot of sense. Because Moshe, man, was mamish there. He could have seen. Hashem says, don't go any closer. I'll come. Okay. And the last, well, we have 2 minutes? What do we have? Two minutes. I'll just say something very quickly and we'll stop here. The prophet says, Hashem said, I want to go down to Mitzrayim and take out Klal Yisrael. The Eired Mitzrayim. Okay? They read that Sim Yaz, I want to go down, take him out of Mitzrayim. Why did he leave the Kodesh Baruch Hu go to Mitzrayim? What, because he's in Shemayim and he has to like come down to Mitzrayim? Come on. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. He doesn't have to come down from the Shemayim to come to take out Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael, but it's the Yerida. You know why it's the Yerida? Because in order to get them out of Mitzrayim, Hashem would have preferred to take them out in a normal fashion. In a regular fashion. The problem was that Klal Yisrael got to a very, very sad state called Mem Tesh Shaarei Tumah. We didn't have time for a slow gula process at this point. A TV, a natural gula. No, no, it didn't exist anymore. We had to get out quickly. An ace! Kriyas Yamsuf! Nakas! Crazy stuff! Nisim Gluin! Shouldn't you just like to do that? You know what it is for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do that? That's actually lowering a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyahu. So it's a Yerida. It's cheapening. It's bad. Hashem prefers to run the world in its natural state. From the time He created the world, He wants to continue the world going straight in its path. B'derech HaTeva. Not to take away the Teva and create Nes. That's not what Hashem prefers to do. Once in a while you have to do that. But that's not the goal. The goal is to recognize and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Teva. And that's why, says Rav Soloveitchik, this is, I just quoted you the first half of this piece, but Rav Soloveitchik writes, and that's why it says that it was a Yerida, and that's why he quotes two great, great pieces. The Gemara in Shabbos says that whoever reads Hallel every day is a Mechari from a Gadif. He blasphemes the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. Why is that? He says, I'll tell you why. What is Hallel HaMitzri? How will we say for an Achag? He talks about all the great things that Kadosh Baruch Hu did. So if you say that every day, you think that's how you pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you miss the point of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what Kadosh Baruch Hu is all about. Kadosh Baruch Hu is about Nisim Nistarim in the Teva, not changing the Olam HaTeva. Nisim Nistarim, not Nisim Gluim. That's not what Hashem is great about. And that's why it says, the second Gemara he quotes, which is a beauty, he says, aye, but it says whoever we tell every day is Rabbi Yossi says I want to be Megomri HaHal B'chol, I want to finish HaHal every day. So you see, it's a good thing. So the Gemara says HaHu B'Psukei Zimra, HaHal B'Psukei Zimra. Why? Because HaHal the Mitzri is about Nisim Gluyim, but HaHal the B'Psukei Zimra that we say every day is about Teva. It's about recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Teva, making sure that we see that that's really the ultimate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nisim Gluyim once in a while just remind us we better wake up and see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we breathe, when we move, when we see everything in the world, that's how we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once in a while, we're reminded by the Nes Galut. Ad Kan for today.